You know, we picked on each other. We provoked each other. We used humor to dishonor each other. Some of you were in situations where your father or your mother dishonored you, where a brother or a sister dishonored you, okay? Remember, honor is something of putting esteem around someone or respect around someone. It's like almost guarding someone with esteem and respect. And Satan hates anything that God puts this much in the Bible. When we're dishonored, enemy has a way. First of all, let me tell you this. Any place you've been dishonored and any place you have dishonored someone else, the enemy set that up. It was strategically set up by him having you break spiritual laws, him having generational curses in your life. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm just going to dishonor today. It's been strategically placed in your life. When you have, people with who do not want to be the gender that God's made them, that's a dishonor. They dishonor their own bodies. They dishonor their own personhood. They basically come in agreement with the enemy that they should not esteem who God says that they are. Okay? Are you kind of getting this honor thing a little bit? How many of you are like me before honor was just kind of a word and it's like, okay, you just honor somebody else, you know, but you didn't really get the heart of honor. I mean, that was me. I know somebody said, well, who wouldn't know this? Well, I didn't. I knew the right words to say. And I don't want to just have the right words. I want the right heart. I want the right heart that puts honor around people. And I want to apologize to you if in any way anything I've ever said to you or about you came from a spirit that dishonored you. Okay? And because until God gets this stuff out of our hearts, it's going to get mixed in with the good. Do you know what I mean? Thank God he still uses us, right? Well, if we have to wait for the person to be perfected, we'd all just be destroyed because nobody'd ever get there, you know? So God likes to humble us. I mean, people probably listen to my radio show and think, my goodness, who would ever go to that person's church? I mean, every week she's on her repenting for something else. Well, I haven't repented for any big things in a really long time that are blatant sin because I got rid of those when I got saved. But these heart conditions damage. These heart conditions stop people from receiving Christ. These heart conditions stop us from being who we are in Christ. I don't know about you, but I think sanctification, spirit-led sanctification, not legalistic sanctification, but spirit-led opening my heart and asking God to get out the hidden things and to change me, I think is an awesome privilege that only Christians have. I think it's an awesome privilege that God would reveal the hidden things of the heart so I can agree with him against it and get free from it, and any spirits involved with that have to leave. I think it's awesome. And the reason there's so much divorce in the church, I believe one of the reasons is we've chosen to make these words and take these words such a submission and honor, and we try to make them legalistically make people act a certain way, and it's just brought death. Church should not have the worst marriages. The church should have the best marriages. I think it's dishonoring to want somebody to be something God didn't make them to be, instead of honoring who they are. Enough prophets prophesy somebody's supposed to be something, all this. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's not who they are. But that starts getting into your thinking. Then you don't realize it, but you dishonor. Don't dishonor an unbelieving spouse. Honor them as the husband that God's placed there that's going to be changed into the likeness of Christ. And I always have to say this because I'm ministering to different people coming from different things. I am not, and I'm just talking to you, people can see. I'm not. You can honor that person, but you cannot allow your family or yourself to be torn apart by the spirit in that person who dishonors you and dishonors your children and dishonors God and doesn't really want freedom from it. Preaching's kind of hard because some people's stuff, the enemy will take it to the wrong person and say, oh, see, this is... No. if there's not true repentance for dishonoring, I just want to say, how many people, I would almost guarantee you I'm standing in a room of a lot of people who've been dishonored. If you've ever been molested, you have been dishonored. If you've ever been cussed at, you have been dishonored. If you've ever been put down because of your gender or your race, you have been dishonored. If you've ever been made fun of because of your education or your financial position or even your intellect, if you've ever been put down for that, you've been dishonored. Which means you've been placed in a position lower in your own thinking than God thinks of you. And we've talked about contention and all. And, you know, I take all these notes. I just pull off the scriptures because I don't know what I'm going to say till I say it. But the direction he seems to be going, and so I just want to bring this one up. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, 23. Everybody happy? It is serious stuff, but please don't. I love when God changes my heart. Because when he changes my heart, then I know he knows what he's doing. And then when somebody says, you're this, when the devil gets somebody to say, you're this, you're just so this, I know I'm not, because I know, oh no, I remember when God took care of that. You know, God is our judge. God is our judge. He's the only one who's our judge. That's why we don't defend ourselves to people. God's our judge. And I love this about God. Does anybody realize, with all the hidden things in our hearts, all the things that years and years of the enemy hurting us has done, even if we've had a perfect little childhood, we've still had stuff attacking us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Could you imagine if God really came and had you deal with all of that in a weekend? I mean, it would be kind of nice if it could really happen, you know. I mean, I would probably pick a horrible weekend over this drawn-out walking-out sanctification, but at the same time, I think it's almost impossible. Why? Because we have been told and we have bought lies. What we believe is the way God set mankind up is what you believe really is important. That's why faith is so important, because faith is believing in God and what God says. That's what faith is. Faith is believing and trusting in God and what he says. Believing and trusting that if he said it, he's big enough to do it. If he said it, he's big enough to do it. And he's going to do it because he's true to his word. So we want to be people of faith. We want to be people who believe and trust in God and his word and his promises. And we have to fight through every lie that gets in the way, every lie that tries to steal from our marriages, every lie that tries to steal from our parenting, every lie that tries to steal from us being who God's created us to be. We have to fight the enemy for those things, okay? And Satan, no, what's the Bible say? Don't grow weary in good doing, and in season you'll reap. Satan loves it. For God to even tell you not to grow weary, does that kind of make you think it's going to be more than a weekend? You know, all right, I can take anything in a week and just get this over with. But the whole concept of that God says he's going to add to our faith long suffering. Does that kind of make you think there's like this stretching and unpleasant? It's hard to make suffering like a happy word. And then he puts long in front of it. Add to your faith, your trust, believing in me, long suffering. I think we'll go to a different church. Is there a church that doesn't believe in long-suffering? Where are you? The Bible says add to it long-suffering. And long-suffering or persevering is basically Satan's going to throw everything he can that he has, that he owns in you, at you to see if you really believe God. And I want to encourage you, keep believing God and grow stronger in God. I just know without question that the long suffering I went through to see Mitchell healed changed me completely. Gave me understanding of doctrine, helped me to understand God, has caused me to have know who I am in Christ, to pray for people and see healings and deliverances and miracles for real, not just talked about, not just once in a while, but regularly, weekly. because of pressing through, I added to my faith this enduring and breaking through lies and getting cleansed and changing everything and running to God to come to the other place where now this faith has power to reveal Christ into every situation. Wow. You're right. It's boring life if you're not really going after God. But there's a lot to be done. You won't be bored if you start really praying and going after God for your marriage. How to honor your wife. How to fight for your marriage. How to get vision for what God has for your life. It's a lot to do. There is a lot to do. Boring should not even be in our vocabularies. So much to do. So much to do. You're going to do it, but you're just not having the fun part yet. Some of it you are. You got to count it all joy, your various trials. He means it. I mean, if you win big. If you overcome, you win big. And if you let the devil win, you lose big. We got to sometimes shake off the way the world thinks, and we got to shake off the way the world sees things. And we have to say, what is God able to do in this? What is God able to do in this? How is God able to do this? Now, God, how do I get in agreement with you for that? And let me just say this. Judas went to hell. Why would you say that? Because you cannot change someone else. Is free will. You cannot be God for someone else, and you cannot make someone else do what's right. So you need to know when God is saying, I am going to bring peace to this home. God does not want wives to be punching bags and being dishonored by their husbands. And he doesn't want husbands being cussed out, walking on eggshells because of their wives. And then we call it the church. What is wrong with this picture? Not that that's any of our marriages. But it is a lot of marriages in the church if we ever get honest. The beginning part is to get honest. First you and God, and then you and everybody else. Break shame. Break away shame. But be honoring. You're honoring. You can talk if you need to talk about, let's say if you had parents that were nuts. The enemy really used them, really hurt you. You don't have to hold that in secrecy and shame. Do you understand that? Okay? God's not in that. You got to figure out what kingdom you're in. In the world kingdom, secrecy and shame, and I'm not telling anybody, or I'm telling everybody, and I'm going to just make them look terrible, and I'm going to make them wish they never did this, and I'm going to get a movie and a book and destroy everybody. Rawr. All right, in the kingdom of God, which means Holy Spirit in charge, we're doing it his way, we don't do things the way of the world, we do things of the world. In God's kingdom, he is really about honoring. So how can you share what needs to be shared and still honor? How can you share what needs to be shared and still honor? You do it without mocking, without rolling your eyes. You do it without vengeance and vindictiveness. And all those things we're teaching on, you just go to God and say, get this out of my heart. Get this out of my heart. You get free from passive aggressive. Passive aggressive, and the men are having a Sunday morning Bible thing on that from 8:30, 9:30. Passive aggressive, and it's men and women. Passive aggressive is dishonoring. It's just you do it quietly. And you do it through murmuring. And you do it through attitudes or lack of giving someone honor. Lacking honoring someone. When we've been dishonored, we need inner healing. We need God to heal that place. We need to have God come in and heal that memory. You need to sit down and say, Holy Spirit, every time I see this played over in my head, it brings back up hurt and dishonor and anger. Every time the enemy plays this in my head of what I think happened, or what I think was said about me, or what I think was taken from me, or what I think was done behind my back, or something I know happened from my past and I remember it, every time it comes back in my thinking, it re-hurts me again. And I go through the motions again of forgiving. I go through the motions again of saying it doesn't matter. But God, make it real. And He will. And I just get this example in my heart right now. But if someone whose husband was looking at pornography, and the wife comes in, Christians, I'm not saying this happened, this is the example that's coming to me right now. And she walks in and finds out. And the enemy hits her with, you're not pretty enough. You're not good enough. He's not happy with you. You didn't do this right. And then the enemy goes back to your past and brings up, you're not pretty enough. Who do you think you are? He doesn't want you. He wants someone else. And then all the competition, all the thinking you're too heavy, all the little comments anybody's ever said about you, all that is stirred back up in you. And then the person, I'm so sorry. I'm asking God to help me. And they really, really are. And I really want to be free from this. It's not about you. Actually, that's the problem. I think we pretended too much that pornography. I know I'm talking about pornography so much tonight. And I wish some other people were here that aren't here, but I guarantee you I'm going to give them a CD with a inner packaged ribbon on it for them. Maybe it's because someone told me this week that 84% of men who call themselves Christians, now I don't know how many of them are born again, honestly, but 84% watch pornography in some shape or form once a week. That would mean for every 10 men, 8 of them are looking at something that God would consider indecent every week. Now, I don't believe that's true for here, because I honestly believe because we've done so much healing and deliverance. But I've even told women, no, it's not about you. And tonight, the Lord's telling, no, you're wrong. It is about your marriage, if you're married. It's about God, number one. It's about dishonoring God's daughters. It's about dishonoring. Are we getting this dishonoring thing? If you have an affair, you are dishonoring. You could tell your wife or you could tell your husband as much as you want. It's not about you. It's not about you. No, you're wrong. It's dishonoring. The Bible says to keep the marriage bed holy and undefiled. It's dishonoring. To hear your wife talking on the phone and laughing about you or making jokes about you or your lack of being able to take care of finances or whatever. If it's done, it's dishonoring. It hurts to the core. It takes away from whom that person is. Now, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. I'm not talking about false ways of behavior. I'm talking about heart attitudes that get it. Because God is dealing with me. I don't know about you. There's a serious anointing in this place tonight. And God is saying, I want you to honor one another. I want you to honor one another. And I've watched God. Let me tell you something. God loves us. And He really takes up for us. I have watched Him rebuke people way back when we were all immature. And we'd be laughing about something somebody said or did. And I mean, all of a sudden the hush would hit the office and everybody would be convicted at the same time. Like, you don't talk about my children like this. You don't talk about people I died for like this. And everybody get really quiet, and then we didn't even know how to handle it, Lord. And I'm sure there's teaching on it. And God is just, it's so nice to have that out of our hearts. It's so nice that I know I didn't do that because God has got that out of my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? If it's out of your heart, it's out of your heart. If it's not out of your heart,